Missed some of the many amazing interviews and features on the Midweek Drive? Relax and check out the podcast highlights on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
Quite right, too. Now, great news, because after several attempts and getting answer phone services and various other bits and pieces, we can happily say that the recipient of the California State Senate and Assembly Women in Business Award, and indeed, more importantly, the producing artistic director of the wonderful Pasadena Classical Repertory Company, A Noise Within, is indeed with us now. So I can say those magical words, Julia Rodriguez Elliott. Are you indeed there?
Yes.
There we are. You see, I love the use of the dramatic pause, Julia. Always very important. Shakespeare was very keen.
Yes, I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing you, but I think we're okay.
Yeah, but you're coming through nice and clearly from our perspective. Now, first of all, let's talk a little bit about the Noise Within Theatre Company, because great news, you've actually taken on board a whole range of things now, including a permanent new home, as well as the 20th anniversary of the season, and you've got a wonderful 33,000 square foot state-of-the-art venue in Pasadena.
Yes, it's been a long time coming, and we're just thrilled with the artistic possibilities that this new space affords us.
One of the things that certainly struck us about the program itself is that you very much focusing on the classics. So we're talking very much Ibsen, we're talking Shakespeare, we're talking a variety of other things. We used to actually have an emeritus professor at the University of Sacramento, Jack Lynn, who was with us, and he said that it was something that certainly Californians were fascinated with in terms of teaching Shakespeare, making it come alive. Just share with us why you decided to become involved with this educational program in the first place.
Sorry, I just lost you there.
No, it's okay. Just talking about how you actually decided to connect with the whole program and why you focused on classical theatre with an educational perspective.
Well, in terms of the focus on classical theatre, that really was very much a part of our training. I trained at ACT in San Francisco under the leadership of Bill Ball, who was really a pioneer in the repertory theater movement in the United States, along with Tyrone Guthrie and Gordon Davidson at the Taper in the early 60s. Those are really the people who were building theaters across the country. And Bill was very committed to language and to a classic repertoire and the idea of a repertory, performing in repertory with a resident company. So we trained very much in that tradition. And it had a very strong educational component, both in the training of future artists and also the idea of introducing students to the work. But Shakespeare and other great classics were really never intended to be studied in the classroom, but they were intended to be experienced. So that was really the seed of the idea when we found ourselves here in Los Angeles, at least in the early 90s. There were very few opportunities to perform this type of work. So initially, it was really an experiment. Most people thought that that L.A. would not support a classical theater company, that this was a film town, and that there wasn't really any interest in classic work. So for a lot of folks, they thought that we were dead on arrival, and here we are 20 years later. So so clearly, I think that there was a need. And for us, it was really about, in terms of our educational programs, those have really always been central to the mission of the organization. First and foremost, to give students an opportunity to really experience the play in the way that they were intended, and that wonderful cross-generational experience that occurs when you have an audience of the regular theater-going public as well as students that are experiencing the plays in very different ways.
Looking at some
And for us, the other thing I would add to that is that in terms of we don't consider ourselves a by any means museum theater, so we wanted to find ways to make the work relevant for our audiences, particularly for our young audience, that the work is not just about a piece of history, but it's really about the here and now and the issues that we are, you know, struggling with in the 21st century.
Some of the actual statistics that we see, you've actually performed to over 200,000 students, about 10,000 students per year. They've been introduced to the magic of live classical theatre. 255 schools ago across 27 unified school districts in Southern California. You said actually in that little piece, Julia, that the magic of live theatre and seeing Shakespeare developed in Los Angeles. Interesting enough, one of our other regular correspondents from Los Angeles, Phil Leonis, the director himself, his advice to anybody looking to get into the film industry is see live theatre. Is that something you would endorse?
I'm sorry, I missed the last. I picked everything up except for the last section of it.
We're clearly going to have challenges with our transatlantic lines here. Now, I was just saying, would you endorse the notion of live theatre being something which would-be directors, would-be participants in the movie industry should really check out?
I think so.
Which is great.
I think so, yeah.
So, summing up on that particular area, a reminder, of course, that the web address to go to is www.anoisewithin.org. Why did you come up with A Noise Within as a name, as a title?
A Noise Within is actually a stage direction. Our very first production was Hamlet, and it is a stage direction that appears in Hamlet and a handful of Shakespeare's play, and it usually indicates that there's some activity off stage, and it generally reads alarum, a noise within, and it tells us that there's some action that is occurring off stage prior to a character making an entrance. And it was one of those things where we were sitting around a table reading Hamlet, and we didn't have a name for the company. It was either False Danish Dogs or A Noise Within, and we thought that A Noise Within was a better name.
Although, having said that, False Danish Dogs is a way that we can actually sort of develop with it. In fact, it sounds like a rock band we could develop, really. So
it does, doesn't it? It's also a great name. I don't know about a theatre name, but it's a great name.
Well, I think we've actually got the team for the Midweek Drive-ets now, basically. It would be False Danish Dogs. Let's turn to Natalie Tuck. Natalie, questions for Julia from the perspective of A Noise Within.
Sorry.
Just getting in front of the microphone here, Julia. It's a whole range of things here. Right, off you go.
Yeah, sorry. How long does it take to prepare the performance before it's actually ready to show to an audience?
We generally rehearse between 5 and 6 weeks, including previews. So every one of our productions has between 5 previews before it officially opens and roughly a 5 to 6 week rehearsal period. They always say that ideally you're rehearsing about an hour for every minute of a play. So if you're looking at a 2-hour endeavor, that roughly should be 120 hours of rehearsal.
That makes sense. I'm looking at some of the adjectives that have been used to describe A Noise Within productions: freshly imagined, exceptional, invigorating, riveting, brilliantly atmospheric, inspired, and masterfully crafted. It's wonderful from that sort of point of view. Tiffany, thoughts from yourself?
So are all of the actors students?
I don't know if you got that, Julie, but in terms of the acting talent that you have within the company, is it a mixture of professional artists and students, or is it all students? How do you recruit?
It's primarily professional actors. I'd say the 99% of the actors are professional actors, and we are in a very unique situation here in Los Angeles, that it's one of the few places in the United States that actors are able to eke out a living, whether it's in film or television or voiceover and commercial work. And so there's an extraordinary talent pool that we have the ability to draw from here in Los Angeles.
Which makes perfect sense, you see. Although it has been said, Julia, we really must get A Noise Within over to Lincoln to do some performances here as well. So,
that sounds wonderful. I'd like to go there now.
we'll just hop on the plane. We'll coordinate that. Louise, thoughts from yourself? Louise, any questions for Julia? Because I know you're quite a fan of ballet as opposed to theatre.
Yes, ballet is part of my family. But I'll go ahead and ask a question about theatre. What is your favourite production to put on in terms of ease or excitement with costumes and stage directing?
Well, I've just got done directing Antony and Cleopatra, which is a real bear. And there's something about Shakespeare that's wonderful because while he gives you a lot of information and lots of clues in terms of the world that the play is set in, he leaves it wide open. So as a director, that can certainly be something that is quite exhilarating as you try to conceive a place and time that a play lives in. Not to mention the opportunity to I started as a dancer, and so the ability to choreograph transitions. I mean, you think about a play like Antony and Cleopatra that has so many locations, and how to creatively tell a story, not just through movement in the scenes, but through the movement of the play, scene to scene, location to location. So I find that quite exhilarating, and you know that's the case not just with Shakespeare. There's I love Dickens, and often Dickens affords you those kinds of opportunities as well.
Hmm. And yet, of course, Dickens not being a playwright, being a journalist. Amazing, really. Still, there we are. I wonder what paper Shakespeare would be writing for if he'd chosen the journalism profession. Jericho Keys, anything from yourself?
Yeah, it seems to be a thing that you really love to do, but I was just wondering, what do you feel is the most straining and frustrating thing about your job?
The most frustrating thing about my job? Well, the most challenging thing within the last 5 years, I'd have to say, has been the capital project and building a building. So all the both the fundraising and the managing of both the capital campaign and the construction project has really been quite taxing. And you know, it always comes back to as an artistic director, navigating your artistic responsibilities along with the administrative, that's always challenging.
It's fair to say it was 13 and
because
a half.
In an ideal world, you'd love to be in the rehearsal room all the time, and it's not really realistic.
As we say, $13.5 million. That's $13.5 million, which are raised. It's not the sort of thing you necessarily...
Yeah, in a very difficult climate to do
absolutely.
It. And so it's really a miracle that... For an organization like ours, we were able to pull it off. But it's been quite the Herculean effort.
Julia, I'm sure that when yourself and your husband Jeff get on the case, who could refuse you? It's just inevitable. You know, that Julia Rodriguez Elliott and Jeff Elliott sorted. No worries whatsoever. I know it wasn't quite as easy as that. Julia, it's been wonderful touching base with your good self. I'm glad we managed to connect after several sort of attempts to coordinate various other bits and pieces. Again, a reminder that you can find out of current and upcoming productions by going to the website www.anoisewithin.org. That's anoisewithin.org. We've got two final questions for you. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut here on the Midweek Drive? Or did you not hear the question?
I'm sorry, I did not
That's
hear the
okay.
question.
Have you enjoyed your first time on the show today?
Oh, wonderful, absolutely. It's a first for me in terms of trying to do a transatlantic interview, so absolutely.
I think we've managed to get there, so the next crucial question is, can we prevail upon you to join us again in the not-too-distant future and keep us updated with all the exciting things that you're doing within Pasadena and the Noise Within Playhouse?
I would be delighted.
Excellent. Julia Rodriguez Elliott, many thanks indeed. We salute you. And now it's time for Cameron Tilbury's Nashville Musical Selection, hopefully followed by Cameron himself. Professional souls to the nth degree. Samantha Coombs' news team is already in sight and ready to actually do the news thing. But it's not time for the news yet. We've got to squeeze in some Cameron Tilbury. Hello, Cameron.
That's nice being squeezed in.
And yes. Listen, you're squeezed in with Jessica Ridley. And what's not to love?
Well, that's her brand new song, by the way. Brand new single.
And I had to say, we're talking fit to be tied, not in a kind of bondage, scary sense.
No leather and spike heels or whips involved. It's just a wholesome country song.
It's strange then, actually, without even meeting her, you've actually defined Samantha Coombs' normal outfit for the Midweek Drive news team, basically. It's usually spiky leather and sharp heels. Isn't that
there
awesome?
You go.
How dare you?
You still like the news.
Well, obviously, you're quite right. I was thinking of Daniel Baker, who indeed is in his Johnny Cash tribute outfit to Bercy. You know, you've got, you know, your man in black all sorted through. Could be serious stuff here. Have you seen some of the headlines? Very good indeed. Cameron, tell us about why the team should rush out and actually look to download the excitement of Jessica Ridley, because, of course, we featured Flaming Red before Christmas, Fit to be Tied, another classic. She's heading into the same way of actually having a special. Also got Jerrica Keys, who you might consider Jerrica actually giving some TYG space. Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly.
No, Jessica, earlier this year, of course, we had a really good, strong single with Flaming Red. Internationally, she released a single called Bluer Than Bluegrass, which we've played as well. And then in February, she was on a reality show called Budweiser Presents Big Time, and she won that and got to open up at the iHeart Music Festival in Las Vegas, which was in front, you know, they had Will.i.am was on that, just a whole list of artists from multiple genres, and she opened that up in front of 15,000 people. So things are on the rise for Jess, and we hear rumor of some big things that I can't talk about yet.
Shh, can't say about those big things. You know, they have to save them for
later. Flaming Red, or Fit to be Tied, is the brand new single, and it's the title track from her album. And we're doing really well with Jess, and she's a sweetheart too. She just moved down here to Nashville last November, so we get to see a lot more of her.
And if, of course, you've missed Fit to be Tied, don't worry, it'll be rerun again on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, because that's what we do for you, Cameron, and your kind of oeuvre. We give you two airings at least of the whole thing, and the artists, because they're usually so wonderful. But let's just quickly, because I know we'll talk after the news about this, I'll just do a sort of thumbs-up show. Katie, is it thumbs-up or thumbs-down for Fit to be Tied with Jessica Ridley? It's a middly. She's middly there. Tiffany, thumbs up, thumbs down. It's a thumbs up from our Leicester correspondent, Tiffany. Louise, thumbs up, thumbs down. It's a thumbs up from Louise as well, and she's a One Direction fan as well. It's outrageous. And Jericho?
I really enjoyed the verse. Yeah. I thought the verse was really stomping, but...
Chorus, verse stomping.
Give it a thumbs up just for the verse.
Thumbs up for the whole thing. There we are. Exactly.
Is he speaking English?
I know. It's you see, this is what happens when you get a citizen of just outside Whitby to come down, and people say, "I can't understand his Yorkshire accent." You know, this is what about the citizens in Watford? I say, just press subtitles. There's a full transcript of Jericho Key's quotes that will come through. We'll get that sort of through, if only for Sam's benefit. Gathra. Thumbs up or thumbs down for yourself? You think it was a thumbs up, thumbs down thing?
Are you asking me?
I am, actually, yes.
I haven't heard it, so I wouldn't know.
Fine, it was just playing for it. Brilliant, yes. What role does Gayathra take in the news? He's an investigative reporter in charge of entertainment. And thumbs up and thumbs down for yourself, Daniel?
I like what I heard, so yes.
I like what you heard. And Sam?
Yeah, I'll give a thumbs up.
It's thumbs up. All right. Sort of setting the scene. I think it's pretty much a winner then, Cameron, which is...
There we go.
You're just saying that all the time. I can tell that you're a TYG fan. Available from a good station, in fact, shortly. Might be locking into the rock train. There you go. It's marvellous. I hope Jericho's paying attention to how much we're promoting his sort of show and line on that particular aspect, etc. Anyway, we're not filling, because we don't fill here. We're waiting until that moment comes around, and the time will be what time, Sam?
Quarter to six.
It's
or
now
5:45, either way.
5:40, depending. About what time is it in Nashville at present? Because you've sprung forward. We haven't sprung forward as yet.
Yeah, we do it ahead of everybody. It's 12:40. It's almost 12:45 here, so it's beautiful midday. It's in the 80s. Trees are starting to bloom. It's all good.
Fantastic. See, that's why he worked on Canada's biggest radio station, you know, and fed all these things out before he decided to chuck it all in and become a music presenter and produce and all sorts of other bits and pieces. But yes, it is time for me to press that magical button which will set the news team in like greyhounds in the slips, because it's the Siren News Team Drive Time thingy thing.
It's 7.3 FM.
And finally,
after Daniel with the weather.
There'll be sunshine in the early evening and it'll stay dry overnight, with temperatures dropping to 9 degrees Celsius. It'll be sunny for most of the day tomorrow, staying dry, with temperatures reaching highs of 14 degrees Celsius. That's all for now. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time.
It's 7.3 FM.
So, dire straits when it comes to Lincoln City, Sam. What's going on? I mean, you know, possible
you're
second
regular. You're asking the wrong person. You should ask Dan. He knows more about it than
me. In charge of sport. You're in charge of the news team. You should have your finger on the pulse. Why aren't you getting down there and
saying... Well, clearly they're not having a very good time at the moment. The supporters don't like them, but they've got a new player, so it's okay.
Are you saying that they're becoming the equivalent of well, dare I say it, the Leeds United of the Blue Square Premier League?
I'm going to go with yes, because it sounds like that's what you're inkling at. So
well,
yes.
Daniel, I mean, any thoughts from yourself?
It's a shame to see Lincoln in the state they're in, but
it's a tragedy.
The trouble is, though, with the when you drop out of the Football League, the problem you have is that it's very hard to get back up there and rebuild. You've seen clubs like Darlington, Mansfield, Wrexham, Grimsby, Luton, all these clubs that, you know, were pretty solid a few years ago go down there, and Lincoln have unfortunately gone down the same way. They are at risk of going down for a second consecutive season. They could be in the same league as Boston, actually, next
Unbelievable.
Season, which would be pretty bad. Their plight wasn't great either. So.
And Guyathri, West Ham United 1, Middlesbrough 1, shock result.
I have no idea. Then you're asking the wrong person.
That's why she looks after business. You see, sorted to do that. Oh, no idea whatsoever. Cameron, shock result. What do you say?
I'm going to go with yes. I'm a Spurs supporter, so.
Yeah, why? What is it about this Tottenham Hotspur scenario? Listen, before the news team go today, I'm going to actually get a full photograph of the news team and the five co-presenters for the Midweek Drive, etc., because it has been said we've often sort of omitted the news team for that. So we're going to get that sorted through. And to actually take us round to your next little feature, Cameron, would you like another little treat from Jessica Ridley? Would you like some Flaming Red?
Let's do Flaming Red, and I'll tell you, just if you haven't seen the video, go check it out on Jessica's page or YouTube. It was shot in North Carolina, and this is a great song produced by Crystal Mardian.
I'm going crazy. My life is no longer my own, and it seems to me that could you
Flaming Red and Jessica Ridley. And curious enough, she does actually have red hair, does she not? Or am I confused?
No.
It's more confusing than that. Never mind. OK, well, the team have settled now. They're all sorted through before we actually go for the Matt Munro moment. But, Cameron, whom would you like to speak to? You've got a choice of Tiffany, Natalie, Katie, Louise, or Jericho Keezy. You know? So there we are. Who do you wish to go to?
All right, let me see here. Let's go for Tiffany.
OK. Hi, Cameron.
Hello.
So have you been doing many events this week with any of our artists?
This week, it's been a really busy week, and last night was at a place called the Rusty Nail just outside of Nashville to see an artist who kind of crosses the line between metal and country. It's a really interesting guy. So, yeah, checking out a lot of stuff. And
celebrating being married to a very special person, which kind of emotionally overwhelmed. We can't really talk about this.
We can now.
Can we? Because a few weeks ago you said, yeah, I know I got married, but I don't want to talk about it. And I thought, we kept it stum because we said,
to keep it a little quiet. But
and then you put it on Facebook. Married. What? Never mind.
Yeah, just got married a month ago.
There we are, you see, there's hope for us all. Anyway, fantastic stuff there. And it's we're filling up, aren't we, Jericho?
Yeah.
It's a huge scenario, etc. We are, yeah. Anything else you'd like to add here?
Yeah, what was your wedding song?
Oh, yeah.
It was actually a song that was written by my wife. She's a singer-songwriter, and she's recorded over the years with different people and written with a lot of different people, and this was something she wrote. And she'd put it on CD, so we had that church. It was really nice.
That's very nice, very personal.
And so much better than Mariah Carey or any of the other sort of classics that are sort of rolled out time and time again, which is wonderful. It's great stuff there. Katie, anything you'd like to say to Cameron at this stage? I know you're looking for one soil thrust. You know,
how are they doing?
What's that?
What's going on with one soil thrust?
They're starting to get a lot of airplay around Europe. We've had a few stations in the U.S. pick them up, so things are going well for them. Got a great review in a German rock magazine, which of course I had to get translated on Google Translate. But they're doing well. We're working with a guy, and we'll actually play him next week, who's a shredder. So we're going to play him next week.
Oh, you see, I was thinking maybe a sort of pre-Easter treat, you know, ahead of the teddy bear train, etc. Because we're also doing water walking, or as one of the press releases actually had, you can take part in Walter walking. No. We're not walking on Walter. We're walking on water. It's an important thing. Anyway, Katie,
next week we're going to play a guy named Xander Demos.
Demos. Is that a name or is it an acronym? He says, with the name of the galaxy has left you.
Xander is spelt with an X.
Of course.
And so he's a shredder. He's in the line of Steve Vai and Andre Malmsteen and other guys like that. So we're going to feature him next week.
You know, once again, you just raise that educational routine. Cameron, would you like to ask Louise, reversing policies here, Louise, the lady who basically felt that she didn't bring the entourage today, but she did actually insist on taking a taxi from the railway station in Lincoln all the way to the university, because after all, you need that, don't you, really? How much was it?
£6.20 for 0.4 miles. Beautiful.
Brilliant.
I know, I should have called the police as soon as I stepped out of the car, to be honest.
Where did you think you were? Middlesbrough? I mean, please.
It's not that much.
No, I swear that.
You think,
Hodge. Yeah, 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 yes. They thought, yeah, we've got somebody from Stoke area here. We can charge the earth. Anyway, Cameron, would you like to ask Louise those last two questions? Because she's going to trot off to the radio, to the train station, and then she's going to be preparing a website, a Facebook site, all about the teddies. Yes, the teddy bear train. We've entrusted Louise with that duty of setting up the Facebook to like teddies, and it's all to aid a horse as well. I don't know. I can't believe I'm saying this. You know.
Anyway, you're scaring me.
Scaring me. You think about Beady the horse and the Royal Animal Sanctuary. You might well clear your throat, Casey Grimmison.
It goes a whole other place.
No, I made this quite clear with Sarah Chase. It's not the dress teddy, please. Yeah.
No, okay, all right.
So anyway, would you like to throw those last two questions at Louise, who's had her... Well, actually, she's now managed to clock up 2.5 hours with myself, and 3.5 hours if you include her time sitting in on Jerry Kokeza's first TYG as a studio audience member.
I could ask the two questions.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. That was your cue, actually.
Okay. I missed my cue. It was something lost in international travel.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. Have you had a reasonably good time talking with us today?
Could have been better, you know. I'm only joking. It's been spectacular. Oh. Cheers.
Yeah. Okay. And will you be joining us again reasonably soon?
I will do when I work out the route from the train station to the university and don't have to pay £6.20.
You can get an application for your mobile phone, which kind of helps you with such things, really. Or you could have just listened to me when I said you come out of the station, you turn left, and then you keep going. That's it, really.
Sorry.
Yeah, never mind. That's life. Life continues. You know, it's have faith and health. And Cameron, I'll ask Katie to throw those two questions at you. Katie?
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic conversation with us today?
I have.
And can we look forward to hearing from you again?
The spontaneousness, marvellous.
You certainly can.
It's genius. Natalie, what time is it now? What button should we press at this time? In fact, we're slightly later than we anticipated, because obviously all the excitement of Louise leaving us and, you know, back from a quintet to a quarter. Already, you see, the band, it's only been going in an hour, Jerry.
It's falling to pieces, isn't it?
It's just
to get Kerry Couture in, see the shaping's up.
Yeah, well,
she's not busy. She's
a couple of ads, I think, etc. Anyway, Natalie, what time is it now?
It's Michelle Monroe time.
Hello, it's Michelle Monroe again with another message from halfway across the world. This week I've got a bit of a rarity for you. This is actually the soundtrack of a TV special my father recorded in Australia and now features on the DVD A Portrait of Matt Monroe. But this is a freshly remastered version just for Siren listeners. The song was written in 1954 by George Corry and Douglas Cross, and best known as Tony Bennett's signature song. It was originally a B-side of Bennett's single, Once Upon a Time, but DJs promoted the flip side instead. I've just visited this particular part of the USA, immortalised in the song, and like others before me, I left my heart in San Francisco.
I left my heart in San Francisco, high on a hill. It calls to me to be where little cable cars